All right, there we go. See, you didn't need the mic anyway, so but now you'll hear me even louder. But anyway, you know, it's been a great May, great weather we're having. Amen? Good to be in the house of God together. You know, last week was a great week. I see a special smiling face out in the crowd right now. I wanted to introduce you to our new brother, Julio. Julio, you didn't know I was going to put you on the spot. Why don't you stand up? This is our new brother in Christ. He was baptized last Friday. And as Reggie mentioned, we have two others. Where's Jared at? We might as well put him on the spot. Jared's probably not in here, is he? Jared was baptized. There he is. Stand up, Jared. All right. And as was mentioned, Tony last Sunday was baptized, and I believe he's on the road, so he's not with us today. Pray for his safety as he travels. But isn't it great to be the family of God? Amen. You know, last week we had some great opportunities to fellowship. Fellowship to me means eat. And we got to do a lot of that last week. Tuesday, we had our men's luncheon. Three of us showed up to the men's luncheon. It was kind of a thin week, but we had a good time talking about Memorial Day and kind of talking about how important it is to us that have been in the military and the significance of that day. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. And so, and we had a teacher's luncheon yesterday. Thank you, brother and sister, what's your name again, Norris? Just drew a blank all of a sudden. I see their faces. But they hosted a teacher's appreciation dinner for us yesterday, so we had more opportunity to fellowship. And isn't it great to be fellowshipping together as the family of God? You know, I was noticing as we sang the songs today, I don't know, Gary has a knack of being able to do this. Did you know, I think just about every song he chose today had the word either memory or remind or forget, something to do with the idea of remembrance. And that will be a key word for us today. So I hope you kind of picked up on that. We'll talk about memory today. What to do with your memory. Toward the end of his life, the great 19th century American philosopher Ralph Waldo Emerson suffered from an embarrassing case of bad memory. Oh, it wasn't that he had dementia or Alzheimer's as we know it. Maybe it was some form of that when we didn't know much about that back in those days. But he just had this knack of always forgetting certain words. And when things would slip his mind, he always complained about what he called his naughty memory. And so when he couldn't think of certain words, like for instance, he couldn't think of the word plow. And so instead of saying he'd come to that word in the sentence and he'd be talking about a plow and he would use some generic word or phrase, he would say, an instrument for cultivating the soil. And when he could not think of the word ink pen, he would start to say the word ink pen, he couldn't think of it, and he'd say a writing tool. He would just come up with some other word when he couldn't think of words. But what was even more embarrassing is that toward the end of his life, he began to forget people's names. Sometimes people that were even close to him, he had forgotten their names. At the funeral of his friend, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, attempting to comfort some of the family members, he said, as he was trying to think of his name, he says, "That gentle, sweet soul, that man," he said, "I've entirely forgotten his name." He just couldn't think of the guy's name. And the loss of memory is a terrible thing because we realize that it cuts us off from the past. It robs us of the joy of days gone by. It leaves us with blank pages in the mental photo album that's in our minds. And sometimes it even can cause embarrassment or frustration. I remember many years ago, when I first started out in ministry, my first congregation, I remember the Hokanson family. There was this little boy named Elias, and he had just come out of Sunday school class. We were sitting in the foyer. We were getting ready to go into worship, as we are now, and he was excited. He came from class, and he said, "Well, we studied the books of the Bible today, and I learned all the books in the Old Testament. I learned all the books in the New Testament." He says, "Go ahead and tell me where one book is, and I'll find it right away." He wanted to show off, you know what I mean? So I thought, well, you know, we're sitting there on this chair in the foyer there, and I thought to myself, I better make it easy on him, right? So I said, "Okay," I said, "Elias, I want you to find me the book of Matthew." Well, there was a little old Bible sitting there, actually a big, thick Bible, dirty and torn pages, and it wasn't his Bible, but he grabbed that little Bible with great anticipation. He was opening and trying to find the book of Matthew, and he was thumbing through, and boy, this Bible is old, beat-up old Bible, and he's thumbing through. He couldn't find the book of Matthew. He looked up to me, and he closed that Bible. He set it down, and he says, "Man, that Bible's so old, it doesn't even have the book of Matthew in it." You know, it's okay with kids to maybe have a little memory slip like that, but it gets a little bit more embarrassing as we get older. In fact, we have more things to remember as we get older. So maybe that's why our heads get a little bigger and our ears get bigger and stuff, right? Because we have to memorize and store up more things over the years. When you get to be 70, 80 years old, boy, you got a catalog of all kinds of information in your head. So, hey, listen, it gets hard to remember things. But one of the other reasons why we forget things sometimes is because in our culture, we tend to focus on the things that are just right in our little world. Things that are in our, pool of information. And so we sometimes neglect the past. We act like that all that really matters is the present, the things that we're going through now. And a good example of this, I think, is Memorial Day, where we are called to go back and to remember all of our servicemen and our servicewomen who have died in war. And I think this is very important for us. There are some significant lessons that we learn on the battlefield. We learn lessons of bravery and determination and loyalty and faith and even compassion. There's lots of things that can be learned, yes, even in war. Do we think deeply enough about these things on Memorial Day? Some people's minds are simply on the fact that they're going to get an extra day off from work. Their minds are on barbecue and beaches and other such fun things to do on their day off from work. But for the Christian, I believe that we face a great spiritual danger when it comes to the loss of memory, the failure of memory. This failure of memory can actually lead to a failure of faith. I'd like to read a few verses here from the letter that the Apostle Peter wrote, two letters actually, and things that he talked about, the significance of remembering things. So he writes in this passage here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, "Therefore, I will not be negligent to remind you of these things, though you know them and you're established in the present truth." Yes, he says, "I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." And so he says, "I will then be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So Peter realized that he wasn't going to be with them forever. He was going to die. He was writing the very words of Scripture. And he says, "I know it's important for me to remind you of these things. I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to make sure, ensure that you have a reminder of these things." And another text over in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, earlier in the text there, he says, "For he who lacks these things," here's the problem, he says, "is short-sighted." He says, "even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And therefore, brethren," he says, "be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." So God wants us to flourish in life, not to stumble. Therefore, that's why we have the Bible today in written form. If He told it to us verbally, guess what would happen? In our old age, as we get older, or even in our young age, we might tend to let those things slip in our hearing of the words that God said. So He said, "I wrote them down. I want to remind you. I want you to make your calling and election sure. If you stay focused on these things, then, and only then, will you never be made to stumble." So God knows it's important that we remember things. Forgetfulness can actually even tear away at the very foundation of our relationship with God. And so as we read through the Bible, we come to see the importance of memory. We realize that God even gave people of old times and in Bible times mechanisms by which to remember certain things. Throughout the Scriptures, we see references to monuments and to memorial feasts and other such ways of symbolizing things so that others would not forget what God wanted them to remember. And so in many different ways, the great things that God did for His people were retold. They were rehearsed. They were re-presented to the people so that they would not forget about God's love and about His power and about His kindness and about His promises. And so God would give them ways to remember certain things. Why? Because, number one, God realizes that we need to remember the past. If you want to follow along, by the way, in the lesson today, there's an outline in your bulletin, and you can see the 3 points we're going to be looking at this morning. When we talk about what to do with your memory, the first thing I want to mention this morning is that we indeed need to be a people who remember the past. And I want to consider an example from the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 4, where this is true. You remember the event, possibly, of the crossing of the Jordan River. For the people of God, it was after a period of 40 years they were wandering in the wilderness. And the Israelites had finally reached the promised land. This was the promised land that God said, here's where I want you to be in the land of milk and honey. Here's where I want you to live. Here's where I want to bring you, the promised land. But there was an obstacle that stood in their way before they could enter the promised land. It was the great and mighty Jordan River. And this was no obstacle, of course, we know, because God would hold back its waters and He would let the people of God cross over the Jordan River. And once they were across, and as they went through and they're passing through these waters and they're on dry land and they get to the other side, possibly you can in your own mind imagine the excitement, the thrill, the adrenaline. They're in the promised land. This is what they've been waiting for. They're ready to move on. They're ready to enjoy the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They'd waited so long. Finally, the moment had arrived. Here they were, and they were definitely excited about all these things. But as they anticipated all the great things they would enjoy, God basically looked at them and said, time out. Stop what you're doing. Before you even take another step, He said to them that He was going to show them something. And so God told them as they crossed over to look back and go back there and build a monument there. A job, in fact, that would take several days to do, and a job that would involve a lot of hard work. Man, they've already been in the wilderness 40 years. They're tired. They want to get into the promised land. He says, no, I got more work for you to do. He says, I want you to build a monument. And why did God want them to do this? Well, you see, He knew the importance of memory, and He wanted them to remember what He had done for them. And so in chapter 4 of Joshua, at verse 21, it says, then Joshua spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan. And then it goes on a little further down in verse 23. He says, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. Now, see, He reminded them there was another time they had crossed over water. Remember the Red Sea? And He says, now, He wants you to remember this time. He says, which He dried up before us until we'd crossed over. He says, so that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty and that it is mighty to save. And so God wanted them to remember this time. God knows, you see, that we forget things. We are many times a very forgetful people. We forget a lot of different things. And God wanted them to trust in Him and to continue to fear Him, even in this new land, the promised land. And He knew how important it was that they remember this very significant past event. And we have other examples, of course, in the Bible, similar to this, the Passover meal that they were to observe, the manna from heaven. The temple itself was something that the temple furniture and all those things were symbols to remind them of what would come in this new covenant under Jesus Christ. So we have all these things that were reminding the people of things. God wants His people to remember His promises. He wanted them to remember their bondage when they were in Egypt in bondage. He wanted them to remember their deliverance. He wanted them to remember His commands. He wanted them to remember His unfailing love. God wanted them to remember these things. In Psalm 105, David said, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, sing praises to Him, remember the great things He has done." God wants us to remember the great things He has done. And we talk about the importance of memory, though. There's something else I want us to keep in mind as we talk about this. And that is this, that even though God wants us to remember the past, the irony is He doesn't want us to dwell on the past. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 10, if you can read through this, it says, "Don't always be asking, where are the good old days?" Solomon said, wise people don't ask such questions. You know, some people live in the past because they're afraid to face the future. They're afraid of the present and they're afraid of the future. For them, dwelling on the past is a means of escaping the problems of the present. And they live in the past because, once again, they're afraid of facing the future. And you know these people, you know they're always thinking about the good old days. That's when everything was always better, the good old days. And about how great things used to be and in the day, as we would say. Life was simpler, friends were closer, people were nicer, gas prices were lower. You remember the good old days, right? But what happens is sometimes when we think about the good old days, and how great things used to be, we kind of, it's like the guy that told the, you know, "I caught the fish," and he was like this big and, this big. The good old days, as we kind of tell those stories, seem to get gooder and gooder all the time. We think about the bad things we're going through now. And so what happens is people thinking on the good old days, they distort the past and they believe that the good old days are gone. It's what I call the golden age syndrome. Always thinking that things were so much better back then. And some people, well, the golden age was for some people was the 50s or the 60s or maybe the 70s. Or if you're like me, the good old days were the 80s, you know. You remember the music was always better, the style, the fashion of clothing was better, and yeah, everything was just better back in the good old days. The problem with dwelling on the past is we distort the past. We come to believe that the days of old are gone by and we'll never see them again. Everything since then has been pretty much downhill that's gone on in our lives. And so even the pleasant memories that we have of old times can actually work against us. God wants us to remember the past, but He doesn't want us to dwell on the past and neglect the present. The one thing that God really wants us to dwell on, my Christian friend, is He wants us to dwell on His Word. That is the Scriptures. And of course, that's just a launching pad for us to dwell on even what's more important, that is His Son, Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "Let the Word," that's supposed to be up on the screen there, it says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs." The first part of that verse there says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly." So what God is saying is, remember the Word. Dwell on that Word. Remember the great things that God has done. Remember the lives of the prophets. Remember the promises that God made. Remember the, as we sang, did you notice how beautiful that song was that we sang right before the sermon today, that song, One Day. And we talked about, it's a beautiful, I'm glad that song is five verses long, filled with lots of meaning about the story of Jesus Christ. Remember God's Son. You know, Brother Gary started out in one of the slides there, you know, remember who you are. Well, that's great. What I would even say greater than that is, remember Jesus Christ. Did you know that in your Bible, you actually have a command to do that? Look it up sometime. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. It simply says, remember Jesus Christ. I like verses that start out with a verb, you know, remember. It's telling you, that's not an option. That's a command. Remember Jesus. That's why we're here today. You know, did you know that technically speaking, every Lord's Day that we come and worship God on Sunday is Memorial Day. Amen? We are memorializing in the partaking of the Lord's Supper the great sacrifice that Jesus made for us. That is our memorial today. God didn't say, stack up some stones. Remember when you crossed the Red Sea? That was for the people then. Now He gives us the bread. And He gives us the fruit of the vine. And He says, I want you to remember my Son. So let's talk about that now. This is my third point this morning. We need to reflect on God's Son. Every Lord's Day, as we break the bread, we are reminded of the importance of memory. The Apostle Paul wrote here on the screen. Well, you know what? We better turn there because, you know, I think I can read it. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And then it goes on to say, "In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" And then Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup," he says, "you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." God wants us, above everything else, to remember His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is why memory is so important today. Remembering God's Son helps us to reflect on three things. And if you can't read them on the screen here, you'll see them in your outline, in your church bulletin there. We're going to talk about how the Lord's Supper reminds us of our sin, it reminds us of His sacrifice, and it reminds us of our salvation. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, first of all, you remember your sin. The reason that Jesus gave Himself up to die on the cross is because of our sin. Do you know that we were destined, as Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, we were destined to die in our sins, but Jesus died for our sins so we wouldn't die in our sins. Yeah, we have a big sin problem with God. Even one sin or 1,000, it wouldn't matter. We're separated from God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1, your sins have separated you from your God. We have a huge legal problem with God. We are all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so every time you break the bread and every time you drink the cup, you remember that your sin is so bad that God sent His Son to atone for your sins. Our sins hurt God more than we'll ever know, and the cross graphically drives that message home. We are sinners. But of course, God doesn't stop there. We also not only remember our sin, but we remember His sacrifice. The bread brings us to the remembrance of the body of our Lord. The fruit of the vine brings us to and symbolizes the blood that He shed. Jesus' body was whipped. He was slapped. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was spit upon. They twisted a crown of thorns on His skull. They beat Him. They spit on Him. They mocked Him. They reviled Him. They made Him carry that cross all the way to Calvary. They scourged Him at a scourging post, 39 lashes into the side of His back and on His side with a scourge that had rocks and glass and sharp pieces. They ripped it into His flesh and ripped it out, blood and tissue and guts going everywhere as they mutilated His body. And that's what He went through. That's the sacrifice. And He hung on the cross for many hours in agony and pain. And He died on the cross even though He could have saved Himself. Yet He said, "Father, not my will, but yours be done." Sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice am I making for God? Not much compared to that sacrifice. But that's what I remember in the Lord's Supper, the sacrifice. Why did He do this for us when He could have saved Himself? Why did He do this? Well, it's very simple. And I really don't understand it, but it's simple. He did this because He loves us. That's right. Plain and simple. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This is something we need to remember during the supper. But there's something else we must not forget, and that is, in 1 Corinthians 11:26, we also need to remember our salvation. The fact that one day, oh yes, one day, we sang that song, right? One day, Jesus is coming back. Amen? One day, He's coming back. That means the reason I'm living today is because of what Jesus did for me, and He's going to come back and He's going to take me home one day. I will be saved from my sins. Yes, you remember your salvation. It says, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So the Lord's Supper is a memorial that is filled with hope, the hope of Christ's return. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of salvation. And this is why memory is so important. The Lord's Supper confronts us with the past, that is our sin and God's sacrifice on the cross, His sacrificial love, but it also points us to the future, that He's coming back one day, the hope of Christ's return. And as we close our services this morning, do you have this hope in you today? Are you earnestly hoping for Christ's return? Only those who are ready for His return are hoping for His return. You know, He could return before I even finish this sermon today. We're going to make an appeal to you to come to Christ, to do what Julio did, to do what Jared did, to do what Tony did last week, and that is turn away from your sin. Turn to your Savior, Jesus Christ. Believe that He died for you, that He was buried, and that He rose again. Well, I'll tell you, that's not just good news. That's great news. That's amazing grace that God gave His Son to die for a wretch like me, and that He then offer salvation if I would believe in Jesus, believe that He's God's Son, and then make that decision to turn from sin, to turn to God. The Bible calls it repentance, and then to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and the Bible says you'll also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is salvation. If you need to come to Christ, we encourage you to do that. Maybe you've left the Lord, you walked away from this great sacrifice, and you need to come back to the Lord today. Would you come as we stand to sing?